You know, before I get into the message this morning, I want to just share, just from my heart to yours as your pastor, what a privilege and what an honor it is to have the opportunity to be a part of this community and be a part of this, really, this church family week in and week out. And I get so excited about the opportunity to preach, and that's really good, and I get excited about that. But I get really excited just about the opportunity to get to know people and to hear people's stories and to help people on a one-on-one basis as well to just engage with Jesus. And so I want you to know, if you've been coming for 6 months and you've been part of our launch team, or maybe this is your very first day, our hope and our desire and our prayer around here is that you would see that this is more than just 1 hour on a Sunday, that this really is, we're trying to build a community here, a community of people who are on mission together, who take care of each other, and who are the church. And we believe that's what the church is. It's so much more than an event. And so I want to share that with you. As I was standing there and I was worshiping, and I was thinking about all the people that are here and the band was singing. I mean, that just came to my mind this morning. I'm so thankful for you. And so as we begin this morning, we're actually in a series that we're calling Conflict Ed. It's the last week of this series. We're going to close it out here this morning. But as we begin, I want to ask you something. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you just knew that you needed to have a difficult conversation with someone, but every fiber of your being was just saying, please, God, no. I don't want to have to do this. Maybe somebody else could be the one to have this difficult conversation. Why me? Maybe you've felt like this.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
That's how I feel a lot when God is calling me to have this conversation with someone, and I don't want to do it. Because there's something that wells up inside of us, isn't there? When we know we've got to have that conversation, there's an anxiety that tends to kind of well up inside of us. Like, you know you need to have this discussion with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend about this habit that they have that you know is so unhealthy, but you know the second you do, they're going to get defensive. And it's going to go south and it's not going to go well, right? That's what we tell ourselves in our mind. Maybe it's a boss or a coworker, somebody that you work with day in and day out, and they're just a bad leader or they're rude and obnoxious, and you know you should say something to them, but it's so stressful. You feel that anxiety creep up inside of you, right? I think we've all been there, and I don't know all of you, but my guess is you've said something like this in the past when you've known you have to have a conversation with somebody that's going to be really, really difficult. Someone else will do it. Surely someone else would be better for this job than me. I'm not very good with words anyway. Someone else will take care of it. We've all said that before, haven't we? Or how about this one? If I just wait long enough, the problem will just go away. They'll stop doing what they're doing. There won't need to be a confrontation if I just let it rest long enough. I've said that one to myself a lot. Or how about this one? I know that I should confront this person, but what if it makes the situation worse? What if right now it seems really bad, but if I confront them, if I get up in their grill a little bit about what's going on, it actually makes this whole relationship completely fall apart. Like, it's hanging on by a thread now, but what if this just completely destroys it? We've all been there, haven't we? We've all had those conversations with ourselves deep down inside. No, God, please, no, I don't want to have this confrontation. And so we make excuses. And if you're like me, here's what typically happens in my life. As I continue to make those excuses, I either don't do anything about it, and I just completely ignore the situation, or when I finally do have the courage to confront whatever that situation is in my life, I choose the worst possible time and the worst possible wording that you can choose. Like, I win the award, the bad timing award, all the time when I have to confront somebody. And I don't think that I'm the only one. I think that if you're sitting in this room today, you've found yourself in that situation before where you needed to confront someone. You needed to hash out this conflict and you just didn't want to do it. And so for the last several weeks, we've been in this series, Conflict Ed, and we've been talking about a whole host of things. But one of the key foundational principles that we've talked about and what we're really trying to get to the heart of in this series is this. It's not the conflict in my life that's the problem. We've said this every week. It's how I handle the conflict in my life that's the problem. Right? We have a me issue. I have a me issue. You have a you issue. It's not a they issue. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I want you to walk away from this series believing and knowing in the back of your mind that you have the power to diffuse conflict. That it's up to us to do everything that we can because we can't control anybody else. I can only control me. And so I'm going to do everything I can to diffuse conflict. And so we've talked about some things over the last couple of weeks. We talked about this word empathy and just how important it is to be able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. We've talked about restoration and seeking restoration in relationships. We've talked about forgiveness. Last week we unpacked what it means to really, truly, totally forgive somebody. And really what we've done, if you think about it, is we've talked about all of the ways to try to avoid conflict escalating. We talked about all the ways that we try to diffuse it. We talked about all the ways that we try to deal with it in our heart, right? It's a heart issue to begin with. We've got to start with ourselves. But this week, I want to talk about how to initiate conflict. And that's something that is really, really difficult to do. Nobody likes confrontation unless you're some sort of weirdo. You don't like confrontation, right? I mean, we do everything we can to try to avoid it to the last possible second. But here's what I'm learning. If we see confrontation as only negative, we will only have negative confrontation. I'm not, you know, a genius or anything, but if we look at all confrontation like this is going to be negative, then it's going to be negative. But if we begin to look at it with a different perspective, and that's what I want to key in on here this morning, I want us to look at confrontation through a different lens, through the lens of Scripture, through the lens of our Heavenly Father. And here's what I want us to begin to understand, that every single conflict that we face is an opportunity for growth. Every single one. Number one, it's an opportunity for me to grow. For me to mature, for me to get better at my relationships. But it's also an opportunity to help other people grow. And I think this is really at the heart of where we're going today. What this is really about is about one word. The most, I would say, important word probably in all the world. Love. It's about love, because if I really love people, and John 13:34, this isn't on the screen, this just came to my mind, says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Those are the words of Jesus. That's the one command that he gives us, to love people. If we are really going to love people, then we have to get more comfortable with having some confrontations with them, because if we love them, we should want them to get better. We should want our relationship to be better. You see, here at True North, we actually have 5 core values. I'd encourage you to go on our website and look at those sometime when you get a chance. But I want to talk about the first 2 core values that we have here, just for a quick second. Show grace and speak truth. Show grace and speak truth. And those 2 core values and all 5 of our core values, they come out of this idea that we are challenged in this life to love people the way that Christ did. And if we are going to do that, we have to do these 2 things. First and foremost, we have to show them grace And we have to speak the truth to them. Because the most, I believe this with all my heart, one of the most unloving things that we can do to a person is to not tell them the truth when they are making decisions and doing things that are harmful and detrimental to their spirits. As Jesus followers, those of us who've put our trust and our faith in Christ, we have to speak the truth with grace. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to get super, super practical. And I literally want to go through some steps to confrontation. I want to talk about some ways, some things that we need to be doing as we're preparing to go into conflict and confrontation with other people. And really, it comes down to one statement. And if you brought something to write with today, or you have your phones out and you're marking some things down, I want to encourage you to mark this one down this morning, because this is really the message. If we want to confront the way our Heavenly Father wants us to confront, and I believe He does want us to confront people sometimes for their own good and for our own good, we have to confront with caution and care. We have to confront with caution and care. And so what I want to do is I want to give you 7 steps this morning. And again, I want to encourage you to write these down, because here's what I believe. I believe if we will begin to live these things out, if you'll begin to put these things into practice, you will see confrontation from a new perspective and you will be so much better at it. And I believe that's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. And as your pastor, that's what I want for you. I want you to walk out of this place and I want you to be better at your relationships. I want you to have better marriages. I want you to have better relationships with people you work with family members who get on your nerves. I want you to have better relationships. And I believe it starts with being able to confront in a really healthy and honestly biblical way. And so if you look at Scripture, we're going to look at a lot of different passages of Scripture this morning. If you look at God's Word, and that's what the Bible is, it's God's Word. It's the very nature of who He is. When we study the Bible, we are studying the nature of our Heavenly Father and how He hopes and expects that we will live. As you look at Scripture, at His Word, there are some things that pop up over and over and over again, some themes that pop up on this idea of confrontation. And that's what I want to work through here this morning. So, number one, if we are going to confront with caution and care, we have to ask, is it really worth it? That should be the first question that we are asking before we ever decide to confront somebody. Because here's the truth. We live in a world that is so easily offended. Can we just all agree on that? I mean, have you been on Facebook lately? It's like, if you are not offended on Facebook, are you even Facebooking? I don't think you are. Like, that's the entire world we live in right now is, whatever you believe, if someone doesn't believe that, get super offended about it, right? Like, we get offended over the littlest, dumbest things. Sports teams. What a ridiculous thing to be offended by. If somebody doesn't like my team, fine, okay. But that's not how I act most of the time. I get all bent out of shape when I see people making comments in the comment section on Facebook about my football team, right? There's no reason to get bent out of shape about certain things, unless somebody doesn't like bacon. Then be offended. Be very, very offended. I would even say maybe unfriend them on Facebook. But seriously, right? We get so easily offended. And I think sometimes what we need to do is we need to just take a step back when somebody says something or does something to us, and we need to ask the question, were they really trying to hurt me here? I mean, or were they just saying something? Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they had a bad week. Is this really something worth making a bigger deal out of than it really is? And I think there's some questions we can ask ourselves. Number one, was what they did or what they said truly dishonoring to God? I mean, really seriously dishonoring to God. Because at the end of the day, we probably all do something every day that's dishonoring to God. But I mean, like, was this really egregious? I think we need to ask that question. We also need to ask, at the end of the day, did this hurt anybody else? Is this hurting anybody else? Not only that, but is this hurting the person? The person that we're going to confront, is this hurting them? Is this detrimental to them and their spirit or their physical body in any way? And I think if it's not, maybe we should just let it go. Maybe we need to think really, really long and hard about whether or not that's something we want to confront. I love this verse in Proverbs 12, in verse 16. It says, let's read this together. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Those are some words to live by right there. Imagine how much less conflict and confrontation you'd have in your life if you lived by those words every day, 24 hours a day. I know I certainly don't. It's so easy to get fired up, right? It's so easy to stay calm sometimes, and it's so easy to take everything somebody says as an insult. We have to do everything we can not to do that. That's step number one. Is this really even worth having the confrontation in the first place? Number two, make sure our motives are pure. We need to make sure that our motives are pure. Am I doing this for my own selfish reasons, or am I actually doing this because I want this person to be better and I want the relationship to be better? That's a really important question to ask. Again, I love what the scriptures say in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit. Nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Conceit, right? What's conceit? If you are conceited, you think really highly of yourself. You are vain, right? You have a humility issue. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I really confronting them in humility? Recognizing that, you know, maybe I don't have it all together here? Or am I confronting them because I recognize I don't have it all together, but I want them to be more healthy. I want them to be able to move beyond this thing that might have them weighed down. Maybe it's some sin in their life. So very important. But number three, we need to deal with our own sin first. This one is so vitally important. If I am going to get up in somebody else's grill about something that they're doing, I better go into that having already checked myself, right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Before you go into that situation with that person, you might want to consider, do I have anything in my life right now, maybe even the exact same thing that has happened to me before, where I have confronted someone on some topic or issue only to realize, wait a second, I'm doing the exact same thing in my life. Maybe I'm the only one, but I bet that that's happened to you in the past. We need to deal with our sin first. And Jesus says something, I believe, so eloquent on this whole issue. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Again, let's read this together. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is one of the most misinterpreted verses in all of Scripture. Because what people read when they read that is, I should never judge anyone about anything. But they stop right there. And they don't read on to see what Jesus says next. This is what Jesus says after that. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, we have to make judgments sometimes for the good of others and honestly for the good of ourselves. We have to judge what's going on in our own life sometimes to help us make progress. And what Jesus is saying is not, don't ever judge anyone for anything. What he's saying is, if you are going to make a judgment about someone else, you had better make sure you are not doing it in a hypocritical fashion. You had better make sure that you've got your stuff together before you go trying to, he uses this amazing analogy, right? Take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck out of theirs. That's what he says. And he says, do it so that you will see clearly to take the speck out of their eye. That's really important. Because it's not just about getting this right. Imagine this big old plank sticking out of your eyes, 2x4. It's not just about getting that plank out so that your eye can be healthy. Yeah, that's part of it. If you have a giant plank in your eye, you can't see anything, right? Your view is obstructed. It's messed up. And so when you look at other things, everything else that you're looking at is also going to be messed up. And what he's saying is take that out so that you can see clearly to take the speck, the tiny little speck out of somebody else's eye. You won't even see it properly if you don't take what's in your eye out first. And that's so important. When we are in a position where we're about to confront somebody, we need to be able to see clearly exactly what is going on in that situation with that person. Otherwise, we go into that situation, and I think we make it so much worse. Again, have you ever found yourself in a position like that, a situation like that? Where you charged in there, you confronted that person, and then you realized, oops, I didn't really see this situation in all its clarity and exactly the light that it truly is in. It's so vitally important for us to be able to do that. Number four, we need to be prayed up. We need to go into every confrontation that we have, having gone to our Heavenly Father and sought his wisdom and his guidance and asked him to help us in this situation. When you are going into a conflict and into a confrontation, you're going into battle. You're going into war. And when you go to war, you don't go to war without weapons and without armor, do you? That would be insane. It would be crazy. And yet, we do it all the time. We do this all the time in our lives. We head into situations, we head into confrontation without ever seeking God's guidance. And I know for me, when I do that, the situation never turns out as well as when I do. We have to be prayed up. And here's some things that I want to encourage you to begin to pray about. As you're getting ready to have that conflict, have that confrontation with someone, we need to go to the Holy Spirit. Let's just stop here and park on that for a second, because this can be, I think, really confusing sometimes. God is actually three persons in one. This is super confusing. I've been a Christian for a long time. It's still confusing sometimes. How can three separate things all be one? Sometimes I don't know, but I know that it's true, okay? I can feel it. There's God the Father, right? Our Heavenly Father. There's God the Son. That's Jesus Christ, the Son, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And then there's this guy, not it, he, the Holy Spirit, whom was sent into this world after Jesus died on the cross and rose again to be our advocate, to be our helper. And what scripture says is he actually lives inside of us, which is kind of creepy when you think about it. Some dude living inside of us, really? It's weird sometimes, all right? Can we just admit that? Like, God does some things that don't make a whole lot of sense sometimes, but I promise you this. If you will begin to understand this, this will change your life. God lives inside of you when you make a decision to begin following Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you now have God living inside of you. You have an advocate. You have somebody who will guide you and lead you. And all you have to do is listen to him. He's there. He's speaking. He's trying to give you good instruction for your life. But here's what happens to me. I get so busy with my own thoughts, doing my own thing, that it just drowns out the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't hear him at all. And what prayer does is it gives us the opportunity to quiet our hearts, to quiet our mind and our spirit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, okay, God, I'm listening now. Speak to me in the stillness and the quiet of this moment. I need you to guide me here. I cannot do this on my own strength and my own power. And so what do we need to ask the Holy Spirit for in these moments? Number one, ask him to give you eyes to see this person that you are about to have this confrontation with through his eyes. God, I want to see them the way you see them. I want to see them as highly loved and highly valuable. And regardless of whatever it is they're doing right now, I want to see them in such a light that I desire for them to be better as I walk into this moment of confrontation with them. Because I promise you, if you walk into confrontation and you have ill will and ill feelings towards that person, it is a detriment to that confrontation. It's not going to go well. You must go in, right? What was the main idea here? Confront with caution and care. With both caution and care. Pray that you see them the way that God sees them. But we also need to pray for the right words. Again, I don't know about you, but sometimes my word choice is not great. Sometimes I say things that I wish, like, it comes out of my mouth, and I wish I could just take it right back in. Ever been there? And what I want to encourage you to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the right words. And as you do that, as your motives are pure, right, as you've done your business with God and said, okay, whatever sin I have in my own life, forgive me, I repent of it, he will give you the right words. We need to ask him to help us with our fear and our anxiety. Pray for him to give you the courage to do what is necessary for them, to help them. That's such a difficult thing sometimes. That's the thing that keeps us, I think, a lot of times from doing what we need to do, from doing what we're supposed to do. Pray for courage. Pray to overcome the fear and the anxiety that comes with confrontation. This is what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I believe this, when we are in the will of God, when we have sought him and said, you know what, I want to do what's right here, I want to honor you, and we pray to honor God in that situation, he 100% will give us the right words. Every single time. He will take away the fear. He will take away the anxiety. He will give us the eyes to see that person the way that they need to be truly seen. Then number five, do it face to face, do it privately, and do it quickly. This is key. This is so important. Don't miss this one. We need to do it face to face, we need to do it privately, and we need to do it quickly. I know that we live in a world where it is so much easier to go, now that's my text messaging sound. Didn't figure that out, right? It's so much easier to text somebody, to shoot them an email, than it is to actually go and talk to them face to face. But let me tell you something. Human beings, we were meant to do this right here. Eye to eye, face to face. You need to be able to see into the soul of somebody else, and they need to be able to see into yours. There are so many things that are lost in translation. Tone, for one, when it comes to a text message or an email. And it's so much harder. I get it. Like, the temptation is, I'll just text them and tell them. I'll just send them a quick email. I believe your Heavenly Father wants you to have better relationships. Texting and emailing is not the way to go about this. If you have to confront somebody, you do it face to face. Not only that, it's so very important that we do it privately. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where somebody called you out in front of other people? Even if it was 100% true, how do you respond? I'm gonna get my back up now. I'm gonna fire back. I don't like it when people call me out in front of other people, even though it might be 100% true. Doing it in private greatly increases the chances that someone will actually listen to you. It should not be our goal to get them, you know, everybody else to know about the situation and know what's going on. We need to confront them privately. And that leads me to a word that I think is so easy to get sucked into, and that's this word gossip. And what we do to rationalize gossip a lot of times is we, in the back of our mind, we think, well, I'm just talking this out with people so that I can, you know, figure out what I want to say or, you know, get affirmation. It's one thing, though, to go to one or two or three really trusted people and truly, genuinely seek their advice, and it's another thing to just be out there talking about it to everybody. We don't want to do that. It's not honoring to God, and it's not honoring to them. We need to do it face-to-face. We need to do it privately. And then last, we need to do it quickly. Because the longer we let that go on, the more unhealthy the situation is going to become. It's not going to just go away. The relationship is not just going to magically repair itself. And the quicker that we do it, the quicker we have that confrontation, the quicker we can get moving towards resolution in the relationship and hopefully help that person become more healthy. Matthew 18:15 says this, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over." Go and point out their fault just between the two of you, right? This is actually a passage of scripture where Jesus is talking about conflict within the church body. What we're talking about today is more interpersonal conflict. But eventually what Jesus goes on to say is, first, you confront them one-on-one. If they don't listen, then you go to them and you confront them with several people. Try to help them see that there's other people that see this thing that's going on in their life. If they don't listen to that, you take it to the whole church. And if the whole church can't get that person to understand, then you treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. That's what Jesus says. But in this particular case, I want to just focus in on this interpersonal idea, because that's really what we're talking about here. These are the relationships that we have with our spouse, with people we work with friends, with family members. We've got to go to them one-on-one. We've got to do it quickly. And we've got to take care of the situation as quickly as possible. Because if we don't, it will just fester and grow and get worse and worse. Number six, be a great listener. Be a phenomenal, amazing, incredible listener. I am so bad at this. Because in my mind, what I'm always thinking is, what do I need to say next? What am I going to say in this situation to get them to see what I need them to see? And all that does is just create this animosity, right? You never listen to me. Has anyone ever heard that before? I've heard it before. Lots of times from my wife. You don't listen to me, Justin. And you know what? She's right. There are a lot of times I'm not listening. And it's not good. It never makes the relationship better. Me not listening never makes it better. It only makes it worse. And when we go into confrontation, the first step we should be taking is, I'm going to go in with the thought process that I'm going to listen to this person, even though I know that I know I've got to speak the truth here and something needs to be done about this. Why? Because we need to confront with caution and care. And what does listening do? It tells this person that I care about them. I do care what you have to say. I want to hear what's going on in your life that might be causing you to act a certain way or say certain things or do certain things. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. It's found in James 1:19. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be," what? "Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How many problems in our lives could be solved by simply listening to this one verse? Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. But then finally, number 7, speak with grace and truth. Speak with grace and truth, right? Our core values here, show grace, speak truth. This is what Colossians 4:6 says. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, seasoned with salt means seasoned with truth. We need to go into every conversation, not just confrontation, not just conflict, but every conversation that we have should be filled with grace and truth, right? It makes me think of like when I'm cooking a steak. So when I cook a steak, I don't just take that steak and throw it on the grill, put it in the broiler, and then eat the steak plain. Yeah, the steak is the main dish. It's the most important thing when you're eating steak, the steak. But the seasoning is what takes that steak's flavor over the top. Right, you put a little bit of salt on there, maybe a little garlic powder. I don't know, maybe you got one of those like McCormick packets where you make the marinade and you throw the steak in there for like 24 hours. The seasoning is so important. It's not the main thing, but it matters big time. This is what Colossians 4:6 is saying. It's saying grace is so important here. In fact, it's actually the main thing. We need to make sure that we are a people of grace who show grace. And if we're not going to show grace, then we probably shouldn't try to speak truth at all. First, we have to show grace, and then we season grace with the truth. And then it takes the whole thing over the top. Now you've got something amazing, right? You've got this incredible steak that's been marinating for days. And it tastes so good. When it comes to speaking truth in people's lives, it has to be tethered to grace. You cannot have one without the other. If you try to go in there and speak truth without grace, what you're going to come across it as is a hypocritical, bigot, know-it-all jerk. That's what you're going to come across as. If you go in there with too much grace, on the other hand, how does that help anybody? Now, just do whatever you want. You know what? Everything you do is okay. It's not wrong. Right? That doesn't help them either. We need to be able to speak the truth to people because the truth will set you free. And the only truth, this is what we believe at True North Church, the only truth in this life comes from God. It comes from His Word. It comes from the words that He speaks. We must speak with grace and truth. And I believe if you'll do that, if you will start to make those 7 steps a part of your process as you get ready to confront other people, you will see your relationships change and you will see your influence increase. We talk about influence around here a lot. You know what I want as your pastor? I want you to be people of influence. I want you to make a difference in this world for Christ. I want people to see Jesus when they see you. I want them to see something different when they look at you. How they handled that conflict, that was way different than I see the rest of the world handling conflict. Because what the rest of the world does is this, they go one or the other. You know what, we're just going to completely ignore this. We're not going to deal with it at all. Whatever you believe is what you believe. You can have that. I'm not going to get involved. Or they go to the complete other end of the spectrum, and when they tell somebody that they're wrong, they just completely drop the hammer on them. There's no in between. Have you noticed this in our culture? But what Jesus calls us to is something totally different. It's grace and truth. It's truth because truth sets you free. It's grace because we have to love people and care for people and show them that. And so the challenge today is this. I'm going to say it one more time. Confront with caution and care. And as you do that, I think you will see your relationships get so much better and see them change. And so today, here's my question for you. As you think about your life, as you think about the relationships that you have, maybe it's in your home, maybe it's at work, maybe it's at the gym, I don't know. But who is that person that you know you need to confront right now in your life? And would you have the courage to seek your Heavenly Father, to seek the Holy Spirit and say, give me the courage to confront this situation? Because as a Jesus follower, those of us who have put our hope and our faith and our trust in Christ, I believe he calls us to be that kind of people. Why? Because he loves people and he cares about people and he wants to see people's lives changed. And we, as the body of Christ, as Jesus followers, we get to play a role in that in our world, in our community, and in our families. And if we don't do it, we can't sit back and say, you know what, someone else will do it. It will just go away. No, that's not good enough. In love, that's not good enough. We have to be the ones to rise above that, to rise above a culture and a world that doesn't do it God's way. And as we do it God's way, you will see the world around you change. That's my challenge to you. If you know Christ and you've made him Lord and Savior of your life. But if you haven't, and you're sitting in the room today, and you've questioned God, and you have never been able to have a relationship with him, here's my challenge for you this morning. Jesus was faced with a massive confrontation. And it was a confrontation over your soul. And he didn't run from it. He didn't back down. He didn't say, okay, you can have him. No, he looked at Satan. He looked at the evil one in the eyes and he said, I am going to take you out. I'm not running away from this confrontation. You know why? Because the people in this world that my Heavenly Father has created are too valuable to me to just let you have them. And he had the courage to go to the cross, to die, pay the penalty for our sin so that we could have a new life, a better life. That's my Jesus. He loves you so very much. He was willing to confront hell itself to redeem you and me. And so if you've never trusted in him as your Lord and as your Savior, I plead with you, I beg you this morning to give him a chance. He will change your life. He won't make everything perfect, but I'm telling you right now, as you navigate through this life, you will do it so much better. You will have a peace and a joy and a contentment that you can't possibly imagine, that you've never experienced before. And I know because I've been there. And every day I thank Jesus that he was willing to confront and bring the truth so that I could be saved. So today, if that's you, it's this simple. God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry. I repent, right? That's all that word means. I repent. I'm sorry. I need you in my life, and I, from this point forward, I trust in you as the leader of my life. All it takes is to say that and believe it, and you begin to have a relationship with Christ. If you make that decision this morning, I just want to say we want to come alongside of you. We want to be there for you. Again, we've got some folks out in the lobby at our coffee bar after the service. They'll talk to you about that decision. If you don't have the courage to make it right now and you need somebody with you, they'll pray with you. That's what we're about here, introducing people to the amazing, incredible love of Christ. and helping them become the world changers that God created them to be. We love you here. We want what's best for you here. And I believe with all my heart what's best for you is to know Jesus. There's nothing I can tell you, nothing I can share with you that will ever be more important than that. Father God, we love you. We thank you and we praise you for all that you are doing in this place. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to confront sin and death for me. I pray that as we leave this place today, we would be changed by you, that we would never walk into this room without walking out changed a little bit, making a little bit of progress with you. God, I pray for the people in this room who do call themselves Jesus followers, that they might leave, that they might confront the issues that they have going on in their life, that they might do it with care, with caution, in a godly way. And I just pray over them today that their lives would be changed because of it, because of what you are doing in them. God, and we do pray for those who don't know you, don't have a relationship with your son, whether they're sitting in this room or all around this community, God, that they might know the amazing, incredible, powerful love of Jesus. We cannot thank you enough for what you have done in our lives and what you will continue to do. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' holy and perfect name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I'm gonna ask you to stand with me this morning, and we're gonna worship our God.